Fiscal year 2016 will be the seventh straight year of a constrained federal contracting market. Contractors will face fewer opportunities and fiercer competition. Industry will have to adapt as government buyers revamp their acquisition strategies. This is all according to Bloomberg Government, which has identified five key trends that will define government contracting in the upcoming fiscal year. Brian Friel is the senior contracts analyst at Bloomberg and joins me now with more. Brian, great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so 2016, we have a CR, at least until December 11th, likely, assuming the House passes that. And so that's flat spending. But if you look at the budget as, I guess, some of the parties would like to see it in 2016, what can contractors expect?
Well, even if Congress decides by December to ease the caps on spending, we're really only talking a very modest potential increase in spending on the defense and civilian sides. And looking out through 2021, the Budget Control Act of 2011 constrains spending to a rate of growth that's much lower than we saw over the previous decade. So we're looking at best 1.7% annual growth through that period, and that means that given inflation and given increases in government employee salaries, that even with those increases, contract spending will be really pressured to stay lower. And so agencies are going to be really pressing affordability. They'll be looking at using lowest price technically acceptable evaluation methods for things like network infrastructure management. We're seeing right now the Defense Information Systems Agency planning to do its big Encore 3 contract as LPTA, and I think we'll see that kind of thing continue in 2016 and beyond, because affordability really is going to be the key thing that agencies are looking for.
Lowest price technically acceptable is basically lowest price, right?
That's right. You know, the agencies basically make price the king in those kinds of competitions, where they'll set some basic requirements, but they'll say, we're just not willing to pay a premium for big bells and whistles. We just need whatever it is to work, and we don't need it to be the absolute best in the market.
Well, it sounds like then that contractors might even have an opportunity if they can help influence the requirements, such that they don't get faced with requirements that can't be met with what the intended affordability levels will be.
Well, I think that's true to an extent, but I think that by and large, agencies look at the market and see that they're getting a lot of bids for when they put out requests for proposals, and they know that that companies, they want to win, and I think they see that they have an opportunity here to extract savings from the private sector.
And you also say that fiscal 2016 will be a year of heartbreak for incumbents, so that the counted on recompete may not be there.
Typically, in the past, when agencies have done a recompete, they've sort of taken the last RFP, dusted it off, maybe made a few tweaks, and then put it back out. But what we're seeing now is much more change in when those recompetes come up. Agencies are taking them, and instead of just reusing them, they're looking them over and saying, how can we get a better deal this time around? And in some cases, it's we'll take this requirement and break it up into pieces, because we think if we do that, we can extract savings. In other cases, they'll take requirements and they'll bundle them together, because they think they can get efficiencies by consolidating requirements. Sometimes they'll take a single award contract and break it up into task orders on a multiple award contract, which means more competition for smaller pieces over time, which again they think could produce savings. And when we see an agency restructure a contract, the incumbent win rate falls. And in this fiscal year that's ending right now, we saw the incumbent win rate on major procurements worth $100 million or more fall below 40%. In the prior 3 years, it had been above 50%, and that's largely because of that restructuring effort.
So if you have a recompete coming up, then maybe it's a good idea to almost value analyze what it is you are providing to the government so that you might be in a better position to bid again on what it is they actually want on the follow-on.
Yeah, and if you as the incumbent can go to government and say, hey, here are ways that that you can not totally dramatically change this procurement, but still find a way to cut costs and save money, that might influence the agency to not do a complete restructuring. And when the agency doesn't restructure, when it sticks to a roughly the same size and scope, the incumbent still retains an advantage.
We're speaking with Brian Friel, the senior contracts analyst at Bloomberg Government. And you're saying this year, for the coming year, small business set-asides will boom. I guess maybe that's an expected one, but how does the constrained fiscal environment affect set-asides?
Well, for small businesses, this is kind of a boom time. The 2010 Small Business Jobs Act encouraged agencies to do set-asides, particularly on multiple award contracts. And in 2014, we saw a nominal increase in set-asides of $7 billion. This is at the same time that overall spending on contracts fell. And contracts that were awarded prior to 2010 come up for recompete in 2016, we expect that trend to continue. And so for small businesses, this is actually, despite the overall shrinking market, this is a potentially good time.
And one way to squeeze cost out of the industry structure, maybe, is for merging and acquisitions to take place among contractors. And you're predicting more of those.
Yeah, because we expect overall contract spending still to fall, you can't just sort of grow organically through higher revenue. There's no rising tide to lift all boats, and so in order for companies to grow their profit margins, in particular, they have to look at ways to become more efficient. And so we are already seeing computer sciences and SRA, two of the largest IT services companies in the federal sector, planning on merging. We're seeing Lockheed Martin acquiring Sikorsky and divesting its information technology business, which is lower margin than its weapon systems work. And so we think that we'll see more of that over the coming year as other companies figure out ways to either protect or grow their profit margins, even in the face of overall declining revenue.
Yeah, when you see these companies like the scale of BAE, Computer Sciences, Lockheed, L3, and actually two moves by Computer Sciences, that's really showing the elephants can be made to dance if the fiscal environment gets tough enough.
Well, and the Pentagon doesn't want the top five primes to merge. They really feel like for the big weapon systems companies, they really need those big five: Lockheed, General Dynamics, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, and Raytheon to maintain their weapon systems businesses. But in the services sector, there's no sort of holds barred. So I think that's where we'll see a lot of the consolidation over the coming year.
And you're finally saying that to ignore the noise around acquisition reform, you don't think anything's really substantive is going to happen on the acquisition front?
That's right. I think, for one thing, we're going into an election year, and so Congress typically doesn't get a whole lot done then. I think the Office of Management and Budget's category management effort is a real effort. It has legs, but it's still very early on, and so we only will see marginal impacts there. We will see, as I mentioned before, on the acquisition strategies, we'll see some merging of contract programs, particularly into government-wide acquisition contracts for IT purchases. The Obama administration is going to be in its final full fiscal year in 2016, and so we just don't see any appetite for major reform.
All right, Brian Friel, a senior contracts analyst at Bloomberg Government. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Tom.